What's up, y'all? Will here at Schedulefly. This episode is with John Perkinson of Bricktops in Nashville, Tennessee. And he's been a longtime Schedulefly customer. I mean, since the early days. And super dude. Bricktops has got 9 locations. They have their 10th opening here in Greenville, South Carolina soon. And several more on the horizon in the next year. He's going to be moving to Destin, Florida to open what's going to be, they believe, their highest volume restaurant. He'll be moving there later in the year. But John's an incredible guy. He's been in the business for a really long time. He's owned restaurants. He's run restaurants. I've experienced his hospitality personally on more than one occasion. In fact, recently my son was, it was Valentine's Day or a dance, and he was running late with his date. I called John down in Nashville, and he called the Charlotte location and like hooked my son up. I mean, just a super, super dude. And you'll just hear hospitality coming out of him throughout this conversation. Really proud to serve him and the team there. Thankful to have the opportunity to talk to him. You're going to love this episode, so check it out. But before you do, a quick word from our sponsor, Pop Menu. Pop Menu is a partner of Schedulefly, and we have a lot of mutual customers who are very happy. Pop Menu is all about making your day easier and your sales bigger. They will simplify your marketing operations, bring in more guests, and capture customer data for personalized remarketing to keep them coming back. With one super simple to use platform that integrates with most point of sales like Toast and Square and a number of others, Pop Menu starts with a beautifully designed, easy to update interactive menu that transforms the guest experience online. It includes a brand new website that's optimized for search engines like Google for no additional cost, automated digital marketing, online ordering and waitlisting, and you'll never miss another call with their AI answering solution that costs as little as 47 cents an hour. So check it out. There's so much more in there, and there is a link to Pop Menu in the show notes. My 2 cents is the mutual customers we have with Schedulefly that use Pop Menu that I've spoken to have all, you know, collectively said, great product, great company, great customer service, great results. So check out Pop Menu. Check out this episode with John Perkinson, Bricktops, Nashville, Tennessee, and more episodes coming soon. See ya. John, let's do this. Go ahead and introduce yourself, and we will get busy. I want to respect your time.
Yeah. Well, John Perkinson, I'm general manager at Bricktops Restaurant in Nashville. Been with Bricktops for about 12 years, going on 13. Prior to that, I was with 131 for about 5 years. And prior to that, I owned my own restaurants up on Lake Norman in Davidson and Cornelius. So I've got a varied experience, whether it's working for myself or working for a company. But yeah, I was in Charlotte for, 8 years at Bricktops. And then I was there a total of 23 years. So I'm kind of a North Carolina guy. But when I started working for Bricktops, I was the general manager there. I moved to Birmingham and we opened a new store there. And then in 2020, right in the middle of COVID, I moved to Nashville. So, okay. And that's what I've been doing. I'm a general manager, but I also do a lot of other things on the side and in terms of the company. I help open restaurants and, do some creating of systems and that kind of thing. So it's, we've got 9 stores now and getting ready to open Greenville this summer in South Carolina.
Nice.
Then they're moving me to Destin, Florida in December, January. So we're going to open up a store there.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, man. Okay. I got so many things to ask you about just from that. So let's start with this. I didn't realize you had owned restaurants up in Davidson and Cornelius.
Yeah, it was, North Harbor Cafe.
Dude, I know it well. I went to Davidson.
You went to Davidson. Okay.
Yeah. And my mom used to live
right there in those, while I was in school there from 92 to 96. And during that time, my mom lived in one of those condos, like, you know, 300 yards from North Harbor. Yeah, so that was your place.
My uncle built all those. He owned the Lake Norman Company. So.
Oh my God. That's amazing. And
he went through rough times, probably mid-90s. And I came in and took over the restaurant portion of that and started running it. Then I opened up South Shore Grill, which was Lakeside. It used to be Lakeside, of, you know, around the corner.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did that for 7 years. And back then you would have these huge fluctuations in sales. Like you would do really good in the spring and summer and then die in the winter. So yeah. It was, I hung in there as long as I could, but I learned a lot, loved it. And it's a great area to be in. My dad went to Davidson. So I was very familiar with Davidson. So.
That is wild. Yeah, man. If I had like a, I think once or twice when I, and I had no money as a college student, but I think once or twice when I was really trying to impress a girl,
oh yeah,
I'd go North Harbor.
I used to get up there on Friday nights and sing. I've always been a musician, so it was a great setting, and the boats coming in and all that, so it was really nice.
So okay, so then tell us about Bricktops. You've got 9 locations. What's the origin story of Bricktops, and how did you first get connected with those folks?
Well, they. the owner owned, I don't know if you're familiar with Houston's restaurants, but he owned half of that. And his job in that was to select all the real estate sites for Houston's all over the country. He wasn't a restaurant guy necessarily. And the owner, decided that he wanted to be able to leave the Houston's to his sons, and wanted our owner to kind of move out of the way for a price. And so we were able to form Bricktops 1 year after their departure. So he started that in, I guess it's 2005 maybe, but Charlotte opened 2006. So we opened 4 stores right away. We had Atlanta, Charlotte, Nashville, and Naples, Florida. So that started, and then, you know, the economy got a little bad, but they kind of wanted to settle into those 4 stores for a little bit. I knew of them in Charlotte. I was working for 131 at the Maine at the time, and I knew of them and would go visit that store in South Park. So I got to know them a little bit, and 131 was struggling at that time, and they needed to, they got rid of about 60% of their management. So I started looking before that happened, and interviewed with Bricktops. And really, I mean, they, at that time, I think their concept was very similar to Houston's. We weren't in the Houston's markets, but they were very similar. And then we've slowly developed over the 13, 15 years and kind of became our own entity. And we, you know, so a lot of there's, I guess when I initially joined them, I was coming from my own ownership. I worked for Red Rocks for a little bit, but I was coming out of my own deal. All these guys were Houston's guys. And so their thinking was a little different than mine, but they're very good operators. And so now we've hired a bunch of people, you know, we probably have 60, 70 managers and then are of course opening 3 more stores here in the next year. So it's slowly developed from that. And, moving to Nashville, I've gotten a, I'm at the home store. So I see the owner every day and I've develop those relationships. So it's a great company. They do a great job. It's good quality food. It's everything's scratch. So it's I've enjoyed it, and they do it. They go about it the right way. So that was nice.
Well, so I have a family of five here in Charlotte, in the Charlotte area, and Bricktops is our favorite restaurant. It's great to have a place where all five people are happy.
Right.
It's not easy nowadays, but it's great.
Well, you know, when we introduce sushi, and then we have, you know, burgers and all that kind of stuff, then we have really nice steaks and seafood. So it does lend itself to take care of just about anybody and their tastes. So, well, and I have a family of seven. They're pretty satisfied with the Bricktops as well.
Holy cow, man. I thought I wanted to have five kids until I started having kids, but three was good for us. I have my ideas about this as a customer, but what is the secret sauce of Bricktops? What do you guys do really well from your perspective?
You know, I think our food's really good and it's consistent, but I wouldn't say that there's one food item that I think, wow, we blow everything away. I think that we do a very good, consistent job in producing food and that kind of thing. And I think our service system is really good. But you know, what got us through COVID and what got us to where we are today is just consistency. Like, people know that when they go to Bricktops, they can depend on Bricktops. And, you know, when you go through harder times with COVID and all that, people aren't going to take chances. You know, they want to go where they know that's going to be a good experience. We also stayed true to what we do. You know, we didn't limit our menu. We didn't, we had our menus, we sanitized everything, we did all that. And so when they came in, they just had the same concept as they've always had. And so I think that was, you know, within the laws of our market. You know, we had to space everybody every other booth or something. But anyway, I think it's just been that consistency. And then we maintain our facilities, so they're beautiful. You know, they're just, and we're constantly updating them. Sometimes that's hard on the general manager because we're constantly doing something new to the interior or whatever. But I think that we stay fresh, and I think people respect that. That South Park store that's a great store. I really enjoy that. And the clientele there is really nice. You know, I hated to leave that, but, you know, I had things to do. But yeah, I think the secret sauce is very much consistency, quality of the management and the people that we hire. We make everybody clean themselves up. I think I cleaned up all the man buns in Birmingham when I was there. Those folks would come in and they looked, you know, they looked a lot different, but we're the kind of guys that have tattoos under our clothes, but you will never notice all that. But I just think it's good, wholesome quality staff, and then the consistency of everything we do. But
so as you grow, and you're opening three, you said, in the next year?
Yeah. So we're going in Greenville, South Carolina, then Destin, and then we've got a site in Delray, which is South Florida.
How do y'all pick these locations? Like, when you talk about Naples, Charlotte, I mean, you obviously, your owner was in real estate and understands the business really well and understands that side of it. But I'm curious about the process of figuring out where you're going to plant the next locations.
I'm curious too. But really, I can sum it up. He's never married to a site. So Like some people would say in Charlotte, oh, I got to get into South Park. No matter what, I got to get into South Park. And South Park is wonderful, but not every spot in South Park is where you want to be. And so he really looks at things in terms of, you know, the demographic. He likes to have, and I can just speak to Charlotte real quick, but, you know, we're close to Myers Park, which, you know, is very residential, high-end residential. But then you also have retail. So you have South Park Mall, and then you have the specialty shops that we're in. So we kind of combine those things that we like to be close to residential because we think that that's going to be good for our nighttime business and our families. And then with the retail and office space close, we'll get that business crowd and lunch. But I always thought that you tend to build things like your first location, and then you build the next one closer to that, and you kind of expand out. We don't do that. We could be in Charlotte, but then we could be in South Florida. So we've never built more than, well, I'd say in Nashville we have 3 stores, but that's really the only place that we have multiple stores. We tend to have one store, so it comes across more as a chef-driven kind of, you know, here's this little place that I opened up. But it's, I often thought that logistically it would be harder, but they bop around and can get to stores and spend their time, you know, helping those people regardless where they are. So that's kind of the gist of it, is the retail and residential, but then also just great sites, you know. And he is, he's done really well. I mean, we find every now and then that, wow, that was a mistake, but it's very rare.
You've had locations where you realize it wasn't as.
Yeah, the Atlanta location was tough. It was just the way that you had to get into it. And so you had to go past the intersection and turn in and then turn around, you know, and so it was just not good. And we were there 10 years and we were making money, but we just said, hey, unless you can make some concessions for us, you know, we're out of here. And they didn't believe us. So we're out of there. And then I think in Miami, we were in Coral Gables. That was the first time we went up right up against Houston's. And Houston's had been there 20 years and we were very similar. So there wasn't enough of a difference that people all of a sudden wanted to come to Bricktop. So that was a harder one, but we didn't worry about it. Even though we were a young company, we didn't worry about it. I said, okay, those are done and we'll go somewhere else. And we've continued to grow from there, but we haven't made those mistakes recently. And these coming up, I mean, obviously they haven't opened yet, but they are prime real estate. It's just really nice.
Well, Greenville is a great market. People will be familiar with your brand between Nashville and Charlotte.
You're right.
Yeah. And then, you're going to move, you said, to Destin.
Right.
At the end of the year?
Yeah.
With your family of 7, or are your kids grown?
My kids are grown. They're all out doing different things. 3 of them.
You look like a dude who's got 5 grown kids already, man. You look like a dude who's maybe has 2 or 3 that are in college and the rest are at home. So well done.
I turned 60 this year. So there you go.
Ooh, really? Holy cow. Okay.
So if I can stay looking young, I'm happy with that.
Well done. Well done. So you're heading to Destin later this year.
Yeah, that store is going to be our largest store ever. And really nice site. We're excited about it. I don't know if I want to live in Florida for a long time. It's just, I'm kind of want to get back to the Carolinas at some point, but you know, I'm going to do what they're asking me to do. And it usually takes a couple of years to get it settled and, you know, where we need to be. So, but we think that's going to be our largest sales volume. Our Palm Beach Gardens location does extremely well, but we think Destin could do even better. And the good thing about Destin is, you know, people are vacationing from Louisiana, Alabama, Texas, Tennessee, kind of the Southeast. So most of the time they vacation in what we probably all grew up vacationing in the summer. South Florida is very much opposite of that. So this will be a good offset of when the season starts to die down in South Florida, our Destin location will be really doing well. So
I need to connect you with Chester Kroger, who owns a place called Fuddpuckers, which you may have come across down there, or you will if you haven't yet.
I will, because I've only made one quick trip there.
Okay. So Fuddpuckers has been there a really long time, you know, unique name, great. They've done a great job with merchandising, sell a lot of t-shirts. They've got alligator. They got like an alligator farm there on the property. So it's just a really cool place. Chester's a great dude. He knows Destin well. He's been there forever.
Yeah, I would love to meet him.
Yeah,
we're going to put a stuffed alligator in our bar outside, our tiki bar. So might have to talk to him about it.
Yeah, they've got live alligators there on site. It's just a unique place. Like there's no place like, you know, like Fuddpuckers. Huge facility, just, you know, been there forever and super cool folks. So we went down there. I went down there years ago to hang out with Chester, and we did some film work with him, and it's a neat place. But so my experience in Bricktops is exactly what you articulated. It's consistent. Food's always really good and very consistent. You never have, you know, and there's lots of options, you know, for everybody, like you said. I feel like your service model is outstanding. I mean, like, even, you know, I went that a couple months ago, the young lady from Pop Menu, who's out of Charleston, she was up here, and we went and met with your folks there in Charlotte, and just super kind, super welcoming. And I noticed, like, she was kind of doing the presentation, you know, of Pop Menu to your folks there. And I was just watching what was going on. And there's clearly a lot of attention to detail, to keeping right. Everything just clean, tight, humming along. That was very clear to me that everybody you had there was dialed in. How do you, particularly in today's time, how do you find people that care as much as your folks clearly care about your business?
Well, you hire a lot, because it's hard to, I mean, when I hire, I don't really hire for experience or, I mean, that's nice if they know what they're getting into, but I really hire for their personality. And so I'm generally the third interview, and I have conversations with them, and I talk about basically what we're talking about here, anything, just, I want to see, you know, how well-rounded they are. Are they going to be able to relate to my guests? You know, can they carry on a conversation in a lot of different areas, that kind of thing, worldly, if you will. But, and so once I get that, then the system itself forces the teamwork and really the structure of it. So it's not, even if they don't know how to do that, they learn how to do that, because that's easily trainable. But it's really about their attitude and what their approach is, because I need really good team players. And I tell them, I said, people talk about teams and they talk about, doing teamwork in every restaurant, but our system is built on it. And if you're not a team player, it really drastically fails. So our other teammates will force them out so that they're not going to feel comfortable, or they're going to try to correct that behavior. So a lot of times it's, the quality of the candidates has changed over the years, and it's a little harder to find really good people. But I feel like when you have that core system in place, it just speeds it, because people who aren't very good leave, and people who are good and love that structure and love those systems love working here. And it's probably one of the easier servant jobs there is because of that. And so we just, I find that over the years, I adopt a lot of things at home that I have here. It's like, whether it's my toilet paper is waterfalled, or everything is just so. I'm that particular, and there's an eye for that detail. And so when you're training all that, people just kind of gravitate towards that, and they end up really liking that kind of system. People really want to be led. They don't, contrary to what they might think, they want that structure. They want to be able to depend on it. When they come in every day, there's not going to be a curveball thrown at them. I just firmly believe that you create that culture of just details and accountability that lends itself to great staff. So that's kind of how I go about it.
Love it, man. Why do you, what do you love about hospitality, John? You've been at this a long time. What is it about it that gets you up every day and gets you excited about what you do?
You know, I'm not a real foodie. It's kind of weird. I love food, obviously, and love good quality food and all that. But my passion is really the people, the young people. I mean, I keep getting older and they stay the same age, but it's like I have this, my relationship when I had my own restaurants, I was in my 30s. So I could relate to a lot of them. But now I'm almost like that father figure for them. But I just love that development of staff. And through my whole career, I've always developed key staff members. And then I put them into a shift leading role, and then they get into management. I've probably have put somewhere up to 20 people into management. And it's just because I just love that development aspect of it. There's others that aren't maybe going to go the route of the restaurant industry, but, they might be struggling or, just don't have anybody that can give them the feedback they need to make them a better person. So I'm real passionate about that.
When you've seen people miss, whether it's been other companies you've worked with or just people in the industry, like what are some of the things you think people just get wrong that leads to, them not being as successful in hospitality?
It's a good question. I get really frustrated going out to dinner, when I'm in other places that I'm not familiar with. And generally where people miss the mark is the quality of the leadership that they have at the store. A lot of times they're not engaged. And then I feel that the system itself doesn't lend itself to that server or that, kitchen employee to be successful. The industry's gone through a lot of challenges. And the ones, people are like, gosh, COVID, I couldn't hire anybody and I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. And I feel for those people. And I, if I can ever help and go in and you know, give them business, I'll do that. But at the same time, what it did for me was it showed who were the people that were really operating at a high level. Mm. And it kind of, the rest of the folks kind of went by the wayside because they weren't running their business correctly. And there are a lot of good restaurants out there, you know, other than Brick Tops. And I love to go to those. But I just think that a lot of times, you know, I'll give you an example. When a guest comes into Brick Tops and they sit down, the staff has 1 minute to get to them. And the reason for that is that we believe, and it doesn't matter if that's the server that's actually at that table or that's one of the teammates, but that greet is done within that 1 minute. And the reason for that is that we believe that when people sit down, you know, that internal clock starts happening. And so if you can greet them and get them that first round of drinks, then they're going to relax. Hey, they know I'm here. You know, I'm going to feel good about it. And then after that, that home base server is going to come over and they're going to start that, you know, the whole process. And I think that I find that when I go into places, a lot of times it takes a long time for them to recognize that I'm even there. A lot of times I'm coming in and they're not even saying hello necessarily, or you can grab a seat over there. There's just not that hospitality feeling of that warm and welcoming feeling that you should, you know, really show guests as they come in. I'm very thankful that they're coming in here. You know, that's, they don't have to. And so you have to have that kind of mentality about it. So that's, that kind of sums it up, I guess.
I love that. Well, people have choices and they don't always know. Like, I wouldn't have known specifically that y'all greet people within a minute. I just know that as a guest, I go there and things seem to go really well and I feel welcome. I mean, it's kind of like, how would you treat people? This is what hospitality is, right? How would you treat people if they came into your home? You know, you're not going to just be like, hey, what's up? Have a seat, everything, whatever. You're going to make them feel really welcome and you're going to pay attention to the details and you're going to have your home nice and clean and you're going to be looking around constantly, making sure everybody's happy and their needs are attended to. Like, taking that and then replicating that in a business is what hospitality is, but super hard to do. And you clearly have built really good systems that, you know, if they're executed on, they work and they're fail proof. You just have to execute them daily, hourly, by the minute, every, you know, 1 minute. How do you know? All right, you got all these people running around. Family comes in, family, you know, 7 sits down. How do you know that somebody is going to be at that table, whether it's the home base server or the other one? Like, how does everybody know that somebody's been there within the first minute? Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. The greeter, when they see them, puts down a card. And so when we see that card, we know that they have not been greeted. We have generally 6 managers on a shift. So we typically have a couple of managers in the kitchen and then 3 to 4 out on the floor, depending on the shift. So they're constantly walking around. They see people seated, then they make sure that someone's getting a greet. And, you know, if it's within 1 to 2 minutes, I'm okay with that. But then once someone greets it, if it's not their table, they'll tint that card. It's just so when we're going by, we know that it's been greeted and there's a first round that's being made at that point. But you got to have little tells that, you know, let you know that that's happening. Now, the problem sometimes that happens is somebody will put a menu on top of the card and we're thinking the card is gone. And so it's being taken care of. But then we have to watch that and go, why don't they have a first round of drinks in front of them that they've been sitting there for a few minutes? Why isn't that happening? And so it's a constant monitoring and we're not perfect by any means, but Those are the kinds of things that we're looking for. Just like if someone asks you where the restroom is, then you pretty much know that's their first time in there. And so you want to make sure that you're going by, hey, how was everything? You know, where are you coming from? That kind of thing. So there's little things. We have little tickets that print at our expo area that tell us to go check restrooms every 30 minutes. So those are just, you have to build, those are the systems I'm talking about that allow you to be successful. Because, well, you just don't remember everything. It's a tough business that way.
I know we've only got a couple minutes, so I'm going to let you roll. But there's a great book called The Checklist Manifesto. Have you ever heard of that book?
I have not. Checklist Manifesto?
Yeah, it was written by this surgeon, Atul Gawande. He's written several really great books about effective processes that they use in hospitals. But the Checklist Manifesto was written because he found that literally like a physical paper checklist that people had to check off made a massive difference in the success rate in hospitals of keeping patients from like getting infected with, like people had to wash, like just wash your hands when you, all this stuff. It's like things that are like, yeah, of course I know that. When you're presented with the list, you're like, okay, well, these eight things, yeah, of course I know that. But when you're in the middle of a busy shift or in the hospital of a, you know, you're going to forget like things that you know are just common sense, but you can't keep up with it all. So a physical, actual checklist made this massive difference. I found that to be one of the more fascinating books I've read, just because, you know, he makes the case like, yeah, of course, you know all this stuff. You're a surgeon. But when you're running around a hospital and it's really busy, you're going to forget like a simple basic thing that could mean life and death for your patient. Right. Just check these things off the list. To your point, like you go to a restaurant and you go to the bathroom, if that thing isn't clean, it's like, whether it's conscious or subconscious, there's something that happens there where you're like, they're not paying attention to the details. Like the bathroom is such a big indicator to me of like, okay, well, what's their kitchen look like? You know, like what's, it's amazing. But if there's not some process for doing that, then somebody, you know, obviously, yes, we should have clean bathrooms, but somebody will forget, or, you know, you'll get busy and it'll get lost in the shuffle. So anyway, you may enjoy that book, man, if you like.
We do a opening checklist, a mid checklist. We have closing checklists. Those are all, you're right on point with that, because I've opened the restaurant thousands of times, but I still use that checklist because I'm probably going to forget something, you know, and, you know, especially as I get older, it probably a real good idea, but anyway, it's systems, and systems make you successful and consistent. And so I think that those are really important things in what we do.
Love it, man. I'm going to let you roll. I want to respect your time. And I know we had to wrap this up. So, but dude, I really appreciate it a ton. I'm going to connect you probably via email in the next week or so with Chester down there. Yeah. And Destin. You guys can, you know, hopefully meet when you're down there next. And I appreciate the opportunity to do this today. I appreciate the business, my friend, a long time Schedule Fly customer. So thank you for that. And I hope that we get to meet maybe in Destin.
Yeah.
to come down there and hang out at a Brick Tops. But thanks a lot, John. I really appreciate you, man.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. See you.